All right. So this one will whet your appetite a little bit for this evening's service. We'll give you some more great reports about what the Lord's been doing. But for right now, I would like to invite your attention to a passage of Scripture that you may or may not be familiar with. It's in multiple Gospels. But the version that we're going to look at today is found in Matthew 13. Matthew 13. As you're turning there, let me remind you that our table is in the back. If the music's been a blessing to you, we have probably 8 CDs or so out there. As I said, a couple of new ones since the last time we were with you. We also have an email sign-up sheet. If you're not on our newsletter mailing list, we can send it snail mail or email, however you wish. But if you'd like to be on that, just give us your name and the information, and we'd be glad to add you to that. We also have some new prayer cards, the picture of my wife and myself, and has our website on it, allenharrisministries.org, and it would be the easiest way to continue to communicate with you. We have an online store there. We have sermons you can download. We have links to YouTube, several videos that are out there, and we're working right now to get our music onto iTunes so you can get it in. I know everybody does it on their phone now, you know. Sometimes if you're under 30, nobody's buying CDs. So we are working to try to be a blessing to those folks as well. And so keep looking on the website and it'll tell you all about that. Also, on a personal note, I know a lot of you have prayed for my family. I have one in Denver, one in here in Alabama. But my oldest boy has spent the last year in the Philippines. We have been working on getting his wife her green card so she can come over here. It's been a long journey, really started about 2 years ago. Unbelievable, all the stuff that we have been through trying to get this done. They sent a picture over the weekend of Elaine holding her visa. She has it in hand. And so my boy's coming home. Amen? And I'm very, very excited about that. And I know some of you have prayed for us in that regard. And so we are finally able to look at some flights, and she's going to get her immunizations this week, and they're going to take care of some of the final things. But in the next week and a half or so, they should be coming here. That's something we have looked forward to for quite some time. So I thought some of you might want to know that. Amen? Very, very thankful. But for right now, I want us to go to this passage of Scripture in Matthew 13. We will pick it up in verse number 1. Here's what the Scripture says. The same day went Jesus out of the house, sat by the seaside, and a great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That also is a very important phrase. Do you realize that 16 times, when God says something once, it's important. Amen? Amen. 16 times in the New Testament, he inserts that phrase. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And he interprets this parable later on in the Scripture as we look at verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, he becomes unfruitful. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, having read the passage of Scripture, we're going to be referring back to it in the body of the message, but I'll basically be paraphrasing for sake of time. But these are the verses that we are referring to. Now, this message I will entitle this morning, Your Spiritual Mindset. Your Spiritual Mindset. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very important passage of Scripture. And your spiritual mindset, hearing and appropriating scriptural truth, greatly affects how we listen to God, how we hear from God. And Jesus wanted this to hit home with his disciples. So in Matthew's version of this same parable that we just read, he makes this statement in verse 13, Mark 4:13. He said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? That's very, very significant, considering that Jesus taught 38 parables. That's a large section of Scripture. Amen? And he specifically says, if you don't ponder this one, if you don't become fluent in this one, if you don't take some time to really dig into this one, you're probably not going to get the rest of it. Amen? So that statement right there alone tells me that it merits attention. Amen? That we would do well to open this up and take a look at it for a few moments. Are we agreed? Amen? So let's do that. Jesus is giving us a picture of four different kinds of minds listening. You could go in the direction of the heart, but I've chosen the mind to illustrate this. And so let's just set it up for you this morning with a little bit of background. The type of sowing that Jesus depicted in his parable involved a very narrow strip of soil, okay? Cleaned of rock and thorny bushes, and adjacent to that strip were paths for donkeys and people. And the people would basically just scatter the seed as they walked, just as we would in our own yards. Occasionally they would put a sack of seed on a donkey, cut a small hole in the sack, have the donkey walk through the field, and just let the seed drop out. Sometimes the wind would blow the seed onto unprepared soil. Or the animal would just, you know, randomly drop the seeds as it across the hardened path along the rows. So that is the setting, the agricultural scene that Jesus gives us. But then he gives us four different kinds of hearers in the Word. Now, in the Scripture, with most Scriptures, there's a primary application and there's a secondary application. And I'll be honest with you up front, the primary application of this passage is how lost people hear the gospel. That is the main application. However, this morning, for our purposes, while that's in play and I want you to think about it, I also want to take that second application, which would be how believers hear the Word of God. Because even folks that know the Lord still battle with the old man. Amen? And so it affects how they hear the Word. And the secondary, that the primary application doesn't cancel out the secondary. Secondary doesn't cancel out the primary. They're both in there. So I think I can do justice to the passage today, even though we're taking the secondary application. How do God's people hear the Word of God? Well, the first category we're going to look at this morning is the closed mind. The closed mind. Verse 4, Jesus said, Some seed fell by the wayside, birds came, devoured it. He interprets it in verse 19, Anyone hears the word, does not understand it, wicked one comes, snatches it away. This is the one who receives it by the wayside. So the first type of hearer is the one with a closed mind. Again, not just the unbeliever, the believer can fit into this category. We're talking about a person who regularly goes to church, frequently listens to the gospel programs on radio, television. But here's something that's characteristic about a closed-minded person. One of the ways you can know that if you're in this category or not. A closed-minded person is one who decides what he's going to hear and what he's not going to hear. He shuts his mind to anything that demands of him something he simply doesn't choose to give. Now, how do these people listen to the Word of God? They listen passively. That's why they have sat through hundreds of sermons, maybe thousands of sermons, but they have absolutely no intention of applying what was said or changing their behavior. Their minds are closed because they've heard the truth so often without responding to it, without doing anything with it. The seed can be great seed, but if the ground is not prepared, you're not going to hear it. Amen? And that's happening in churches every Sunday. Hearts become hardened because they're growing passive in their listening. They've gotten into the habit of not taking the initiative to respond to any of it. And when these kind of people hear it, it's like seed dropped on the hard surface, where it has no chance of germinating. It just lies there for the animals and the people to trample all over it, baked in the dry sun. These passive, closed-minded hearers will listen up to a point, but then they begin to hedge their commitments. And when absolute obedience is required, all of a sudden their minds slam shut like a door in a stiff wind. I have a cargo trailer out here that we use in our ministry now. I'm out of the fifth wheels, but we've downsized to cargo trailers. We carry equipment and luggage and different things. Something I learned very quickly as I went about my business with a cargo trailer is you better get you some hooks and some chains on those doors. Because I found that if you're standing there talking to somebody and a good stiff wind comes along, dude, I mean, that'll put a knot on your head next Tuesday. Amen? You learn very quickly, you better secure those things because it's dangerous when the doors shut in a stiff wind. But I've been doing this for 35 years, even longer part-time. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you can almost see it on people's faces when you've hit an area that their mind is closed to. They liked you when you're singing. In the worship, they's enjoying that. All of a sudden, you delve into stewardship and tithing and missions. You can just see it. Well, you start delving into it, the family and the marriage. What do you mean, preacher? Husband loves your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself. I didn't know I was getting into that. The wife saying me either, preacher. I loved you in that music. Wives, submit yourself to your husband. Are you crazy? I ain't going to do that. My husband's a fool. Husband standing next to her and goes, I must be. Look who I chose to marry. So all this mental telepathy is going on in the congregation. There's just doors closing left and right. You know something else? I'll just put it in a very practical sense, okay? Do you realize there seems to be a universal door closing, minds closing, to anybody thinking that they ever have to help in a nursery anymore? Whew, boy, I'm meddling now, aren't I? I don't know how many churches, putting it in the bulletin, putting it out to their small groups, putting it on their website, putting it on their Facebook page, putting it on the group text. Well, somebody please help you. We got the same two people. They'd like to be in church sometime. You know something, ladies and gentlemen? That little child you're changing the diaper of might become the next pastor, Fountain City Baptist Church. Amen. Can I just put it in country terms to you? I know you're in the city. But let me tell you. The crap that you're taking off of him pales in comparison to the crap he'll have to take off of you and your children and your grandchildren as pastor of Fountain City Baptist Church. So pun intended, you're getting the sweet end of that deal. Well, some of you just heard a word that you just closed your mind to. I can't believe that preacher said that. That's why the ground gets so hard, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why so many preachers, in order to deal with that, they kind of sidestep and, you know, try to put it this way and that way. And are we the church? Are we the church? Amen? Is there kingdom work to do or not? Amen? Jesus loves the little children. Amen? All the little children of the world. Red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in the sight. We love that when they're up here in the children's program singing that. But all of a sudden, when we need help in children's ministry, well, I ain't there. What's wrong with this picture? Amen? And he does love all little children. In fact, he died for all. Amen? Doesn't have to just be children. And yet in so many of our churches, what happens? We get in cliques. We think Jesus loves our small group. We love the fellowship, man. We love to go out. We love to do stuff together. I'll see him at church. Yeah, but what about making some time to go find somebody that hadn't been there? Maybe it's somebody that doesn't look like you. Somebody that's not dressed like you. I'd be kind of uncomfortable with that, preacher. You think Jesus was uncomfortable when he hung on that cross? Amen? You understand what I'm saying? How can we close our mind to what's right in front of us? That affects how you hear the word. Are you hearing me? God's trying to get seed into our lives, and there's so many other categories we could delve into. I don't have time for all of that, just to whet your appetite, amen? This is what happens when our minds are closed. And unfortunately, here's what that's all about. When the bottom falls out in their lives, they begin to cry out to a God to whom they have refused to listen to for years. Now they've got a crisis. And all of a sudden it's kind of awkward. But if the seed had been allowed to get in all those years, the truth had been able to grow in your life, it wouldn't be like that. So to listen passively to Scripture, where in Luke's gospel, in his version of it, chapter 8, verse 11, that's what he calls the seed, the eternal word of the living God. It is a sin against God to just prescribe arbitrarily areas that he can enter into our lives. You know, when we're thinking like that, that denies his lordship right there. It denies his lordship. And so, God help us. Here's something else with closed-minded folks. It's almost like as you're preaching, people are looking at you like they're already there. I mean, you're delving into all this. You almost see it on their face. Well, I wish Brother So-and-so was here. He really needed to hear this. Man, that sure reminds me of Sister So-and-so. How close can that be? Amen? Hey, any time the Word of God is opened up in the house of God, God is speaking to you. He's speaking to me. God help any of us at any time to think, I don't need that. Because my mind's closed. So there's multitudes who sit and listen, read the gospel every week, but they just never think about what they're encountering. They never sift through it in their lives. They never apply it. Their minds are closed. He illustrates that here. Here's a second mindset that he gives in this parable. A cloudy mind. A cloudy mind. Verse 5 and 6 of the parable. Some fell on stony places, did not have much earth. See that? Immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. He interprets that again, verses 20 and 21. Stay engaged in the text here. He says, but he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word immediately, receives it with joy, yet he has no root, endures just for a while. Well, I think the King James says, by and by he's offended there. So what is that all about? What about these cloudy-minded hearers? Again, take you back to the cultural context. Even when the Palestinian farmers cleared out a section of bed to a section of land to plant their crops, only a thin layer of soil was on top of a rocky area. And so that was really leaving the seed too little earth to take root in. And as a result, the plant sprouted up in the hot sun, but it withered away almost immediately. And within that illustration is depicted the hearer with the cloudy mind. Cloudy-minded hearers listen to the Word of God, and they get excited, and I believe many of them even trust Christ as their Savior. But here's what happens. Having been saved, they simply want to just praise the Lord and enjoy the thrill. And the problem is they don't take the time to study the Scripture and sink their roots into the Word of God so that they might gain a foundation for what they believe. Simply put, they're not attached to anything. They have no doctrinal basis. And so when the storms and heat come, they've had it. They're scorched. That's why you see so many people really getting with it and really on fire for God for 3 months, and all of a sudden they're gone. For 6 months, man, they're there. Every service, in the choir, in the Sunday school class. Woo! Love you, preacher. Love the Lord. Giving. 6 months. Where'd Brother So-and-so go? No root. Cloudy mind. Let me put it to you this way. If you're a note taker, jot this down. The lack of spiritual exercise. The lack of spiritual exercise has made their spirits and minds flabby and unable to respond to the urgency of the problem. Let me say that again. The lack of spiritual exercise has made their spirits and minds flabby and unable to respond to the urgency of the problem. I want you to think about this, ladies and gentlemen. It is one thing to have an experience. But if we don't know what the foundation of that experience is, we're headed for trouble. That's why the Scripture constantly challenges us to renew our minds, to ground ourselves in the Word of God. We should all be willing to examine ourselves. How many times in the Bible, if you're into it very much at all, particularly in the New Testament, do you come across those words, examine yourselves, examine yourselves, examine yourself? Why is that in there? We are to examine ourselves to see if we really know why we believe what we believe. People of God, listen to me this morning. We should be able to tell others why we believe in forgiveness of sin. Why we are not afraid of dying. How we know our bodies will be resurrected. What it means to be justified and redeemed and sanctified and reconciled. Taking root means that we dig deep enough into the Word for ourselves and discover the firmness of the Word. Thank God we've got something to stand on today. Amen? But I'm telling you, there's such a large percentage of the church, they may be attending, they might know the right answers to the right questions, but there's no root. There's no root. So they think, well, if your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, I guess we'll just miss all life's afflictions till we arrive in heaven. No root. 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's why we need to dig the roots down deep. Amen. Why is this important? Why are we taking time to go through this? Well, I know a lot of people don't want to take the time. Kind of reminds me of the pastor one Sunday morning at the church. He announced, today, our final hymn will be number 238. Take time to be holy. Then he added, but in the interest of time, we will sing only the first and last verses. If that's not where we are today, I don't know what is. Why is this important? Because these folks are susceptible to the cults that come along because they have not firmly entrenched themselves in the knowledge of the Word of God. So they become prime targets for anybody that happens through with something new. They're always looking for that new experience because the Jesus of the Bible, they just haven't gotten to know yet. So they can still be pulled away from that. I'm telling you, if we would just take the effort to dig deeper into the Word of God, we would discover how exciting Jesus Christ really is. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, He's not a temporary, momentary thrill. He is life. Amen. And if an individual is satisfied just being saved with a cloudy mind and not knowing why he believes what he believes, not even knowing what he believes or who he believes in, you know what? He's a poor listener! Now, I didn't mean to preach at you. I'm preaching to you today, but I'm telling you, there's an epidemic of this in our churches. People who just like the security of missing hell and going to heaven. But you know what else happens? The cloudy-minded hearer also risks the danger of relaying unsound faith to his offspring. He may not even do this intentionally, but here's what happens. And I've seen it over and over and over again. His instability in the Word is transmitted by example to his impressionable children who never really learn how to be firmly grounded in the Scripture or belief. And as a result, the children are the prime targets for their silver-tongued deceivers, who they will meet on college campuses, who will undermine their weak biblical foundations with what seems to be convincing arguments. So my challenge here today, friend, listen to me. Dad, head of the home, grandpa, I'll say it from a father's standpoint. You know the greatest legacy you can leave your children? It's not necessarily how much you have in your bank account. The father who constantly analyzes the truth heard through the church and Bible study groups or personal devotions, who encourages his family to sink their roots deep into the Word. The father who persistently seeks to teach his children how to apply the Word of God. That person is the one who is giving them a support system that will withstand the extreme storms of doubt and skepticism when they go to college. That's why it's so important. We listen with these closed minds, these cloudy minds. No wonder the seed's not getting in. Here's the third category, cluttered mind. Cluttered mind. Verse 7, some seeds fell among thorns. Thorns sprang up, choked them. Verse 22, he received the seed among the thorns, is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world. Catch that phrase. The deceitfulness of riches, choke it. That's why he becomes unfruitful. So this person has a cluttered mind. How do we categorize these folks? They come to church, could be happening this morning. Bible study. And while the word is being delivered, while it's even being delivered, their minds just churn with questions. You can almost see it on their face. Did I turn the stove off? What am I going to do tomorrow? I wonder if I'm going to make any more sales this week. NFL season, I almost see it on their face. Man, my fantasy team is just killing me. They are just killing me. I don't know who to sit and play this week. I wonder if that preacher's ever going to shut up and let me get to the restaurants. Cluttered mind. It's full of yesterday, today, tomorrow, full of things, full of people, full of money, full of business, full of school. You know what that really is, ladies and gentlemen? I'm just trying to help you today. You know what that really is, according to this text? It's all tremendous thorn bushes of worldly worries that suffocate the Word of God. tremendous thorn bushes of worldly worries that suffocate the word of God and chokes the seed. Wake up, church. Satan bombards our minds with so many things that there's no room for God anymore, and it becomes difficult for God to speak to our hearts when our minds are so cluttered with other things. No wonder we're not hearing him. God help us. Does this ever happen to you? I'm the only one it ever happens to. You ever try to receive something from the Lord? You get in front of the television watching that gospel program or listen to the radio on tape. You're trying to have your personal devotions, trying to get along with God, and right in the middle of it, you're thinking about your summer vacation. Is it just me? Do you ever sit down with great intention, going, boy, I want to hear from God today, and in the middle of it, you go to sleep? I'm telling you, friend, there's a war going on. Are you hearing me? There is a war going on, and it's not for cowards. Cluttered mind. Cluttered mind. Sometimes you just have to change it up a little bit. Amen? If you're reading the Bible, start getting sleepy, start singing some hymns. Maybe some praise courses you knew found off the radio. You know, you get used to them. It wakes you up. It changes the pace. Amen? Just start counting your blessings out loud. Devil doesn't want to be near that. Amen? You might chase him off. Maybe he'll leave you alone for a while. What are you saying, Brother Allen? I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, as simply as I know how, the most precious information ever put between two covers is found in the holy word of God, and there's not a book like it in the world. Amen. And there's something wrong in the thinking of a person who will not give concentrated attention for a period of time to hear its magnificent truth. Don't let the cares of this world choke your spiritual mindset. Let me give you one more, we'll be done. Thank God he gives us a fourth category. A committed mind. A committed mind. Verse 8, but others fell on good ground, yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. You go to verse 23, interprets it. But he who received the seed on good grounds, he who hears the word, understands it, bears fruit, produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That reminds me, Pastor, of John 15, where it says fruit and more fruit and much fruit. Amen? There are different divisions of fruit bearing. So what is the committed mind? The committed mind is what is pictured here as the fertile ground, right? It's fertile ground. I mean, it's been cultivated. I mean, the seed is prepared. It's ready for the seed to penetrate. It can enclose the seed. It can envelop the seed. It provides the heat and moisture that it needs for the seed to germinate and bring forth fruit. Easiest way I could tell you this morning is that the committed mind is the teachable mind. It's the teachable mind. God can instruct any man or woman in anything if they've got a teachable mind. But you know what I found in decades of preaching? The finest intellect in the world. I've met these folks. The finest intellect in the world who is not teachable will miss the great truths of God. Greatest intellects in the world. Now, why is this important? Why am I taking the time to focus on this? Because the Bible tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, if that was not possible to do, why would he instruct us to do it? the great surrender verse there in Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How do you do that? By the renewing of your mind. How many times is that in there? That's why he says, if you don't get this, you're going to miss a whole lot of scripture. Amen? Amen. How is it you don't know this? Jesus told his disciples. So rather than just cursing the darkness, let's see how we can go from where we are to where we need to be. Amen? If you're a note taker, I want you to write these down. Certain principles, I believe, can help cultivate the fertile soil. It's going to be so simple, you may think it's redundant. But I'm telling you, if you'll take this down and you'll apply it, you can move from where you are to where you need to be. First, we must commit ourselves to listen carefully to His message. Commit ourselves to listen carefully to His message. Whether it be through a pastor, a friend, a book, a television, radio program, Bible study group, listen carefully. Second, we must commit ourselves by faith to resist outside clutter. Resist outside clutter. When scattered thoughts bombard us, we must purposely refuse to listen and ask the Holy Spirit of God to help us to concentrate on His Word. That's one of the reasons we were given the Holy Spirit, to help us to be able to do that. Amen? We need to tap into that relationship. He's the one who enables us to receive the Word clearly. Thirdly, we must make a commitment to evaluate our lives. Evaluate our lives in light of what we just heard. We must take the initiative to sift through the truths that we encounter. Do something with them. Don't just hear and not respond. Fourthly, we must make a commitment to apply the truths that God impresses on our hearts. Are you getting that? Because if you don't, what does the scripture say? Satan comes and he steals it. That is what's going to happen every single time we don't do it. Fifth, we must make a commitment to obey the truths that God has impressed upon our lives. Why are all five of those important? When we obey the truths that God has impressed upon us, we grow into productive, fruit-bearing believers. And if we don't, just hear me today, friend. If we don't, we can attend church 52 Sundays a year and still be the same spiritual babies we were before we began. Because the preaching and the Word of God have had absolutely no impact upon our lives, because here's what we've done. We have heard it and not responded. We have heard it and done nothing with it. We have heard it and not responded. Year after year, week after week, month after month. And that's why today we have such a powerless church. What do you want us to do, preacher? Well, I just gave you five things. Amen. I hope you're writing it down. I hope you'll go take it with you. Amen. Long term. But for right now, here's what I'd like. Here's what I'd like for us to do. I don't know how many of you here know the Lord, know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven. But friend, if you're in that category, you need to hear the Word. Amen? It needs to fall on good ground. You need to receive it. I've already given you enough gospel just in the songs that I sang. If you were listening today, that you are responsible for. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you've never received that gift, you need to do that by faith. What does that mean? That means I believe in an out loud confession. Amen? It starts with confession. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that He's the one true God. Amen? Jesus is God. That's what you need to get to. You can repent and you should. You understand the Word of God is true? You should. But I'm telling you, if you never get to Jesus as God, you're not going to get salvation. Are you hearing me? The one true God. You come humbly before Him and say, Lord, I realize that you came to pay for my sin. I'm a sinner. I know that you so loved the world, you gave your only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want that. I receive that gift. But it starts with out loud confession. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. See? Confess, believe. I hope you'll do that today. I hope you will take the opportunity to do that today. Christian, we've just talked about how Christians hear it. Confession is also good for our soul. Max Lucado, in his book, The Grip of Grace, made this statement. Confession does for the soul what preparing the land does for the field. Before the farmer sows the seed, he works the acreage, removing rocks and pulling the stumps. He knows that seed grows better if the land is prepared. And here's the statement that really got me, and I hope you'll write it down. Confession is the act of inviting God to walk the acreage of our hearts. Confession is the act of inviting God to walk the acreage of our hearts. There's a rock of greed over there, Father. I can't budge it. And that tree of guilt near the fence, its roots are long and deep. And may I show you some dry soil, too crusty for seed? God's seed grows better if the soil of the heart is cleared. It's the act of inviting God to walk the acreage of our heart. Isn't that what David said? Cleanse me, O God. Search me, try me, if there's any wicked way. You want to hear from God, friend? It's time to take the rocks out. It's time to walk the acreage. It's time to invite Him to pull it out. Because thank God, what you started with is not what you're stuck with. And you can change. You can change. Maybe you've lived most of your life with a closed mind. Maybe you spent a lot of your time over there in the cloudy area or the cluttered area. But I'm telling you, friend, you don't have to stay there. It doesn't have to define who you are. My God is bigger than that. His mercies are new each and every day. And I'm telling you, you do not have to end where you started. But there's a flip side to that. Even if you find yourself on fertile ground today, that doesn't mean you're going to be there forever just because you are now. That could change. If you don't take what we're talking about seriously, you've got to guard the ground. If you want to hear from God, if you want to have the right spiritual mindset that continues to grow in influence and power, if you don't get this, you're not going to get the rest of them. That's what Jesus said. May God bless the preaching of His Word. My time is up. Every head bowed, every eye closed.